Hi everyone, I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks. Welcome again everyone to our 20th episode. We're 20 episodes in, which is pretty cool. Our disclaimer, as always, is we're doing a Final Fantasy IX walkthrough. If you're new to the series, maybe you've never even played it or heard of it, recommend going back to Episode 6. That way, you know, you kind of start from the beginning, because here we are. So last episode, we left going through Pinnacle Rock. We saw Braun just completely, you know, destroy Limblum, and we got some info from Cid, and now we're kind of going back out into the open world.
First thing you could do is you could go over to Ismaluk's grotto again and drop off another Koopa nut. This one, I forget, it depends on how many you've already given. You either get an elixir or I think an extension or something like that, which is a hat or the women in your party. So you can get those two things. And then, of course, the next letter that you deliver, you'll get another Koopa nut.
Yes. And so that's what we've been kind of talking about is, you know, every time if you don't have a Koopa nut and you deliver a letter to a Moogle, they will give you one. And if you keep giving those nuts to Maguta, you get something. So just kind of, it's kind of a habit. Anytime you're able to, because obviously you're not always able to make it back to Gizmaluk's grotto, right? But if you are, in our case, we are, just head there. Something that's kind of nice is there's also Chocobo tracks right outside of Dragon Gate. So if you don't want to get into any of the battles, go ahead and just summon Choco and you're good to go. You know what I mean? You can kind of just stop off.
Exactly.
On that note, also, if you didn't listen to our last episode, I completely botched my question, my seed question I asked Alex about the Choco Graph abandoned beach. I meant the outer continent, which is that's where we're going to. And if you don't have that one, I recommend just getting it. Try to play some hot and cold. I mean, if you're just completely burnt out and you haven't been having any luck, I understand. It's nothing too amazing in it, but it's just, it's right there once you get to the outer continent. And so make sure you kind of just have that.
All right. So, I mean, at this point, pretty much if you've done everything you want as far as Chocobo's Forest and Chocobo Hot and Cold, and just go ahead and return back to Q's Marsh. And then if you just pretty much, I mean, there's not too many places you can go in Q's Marsh. So, you know, you continue along, you get to the pond area again, and you see a familiar face.
Yeah. You got Kina there. What happened? Don't know. She's just there, and everyone's just excited to see her. We don't know how the heck she humbled and bubbled down that tree all the way down, but we'll stop beating that dead horse.
Yeah. Somehow she made it. So, yeah, I mean, pretty much this is the point in the story where Kina becomes a forced character in the party, basically.
Right.
Like, you know, she's no longer optional. From this point on, you can't progress the story unless Kina joins your party. So, she's back, and you can also catch some more frogs.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I did this yesterday morning. I played through, you know, basically everything we're going to discuss today, and I thought about catching frogs. I was like, dude, I'm not doing it. I was like, I just can't be bothered right now to catch some frogs. But if you did do it the first time, or if you have, you know, some time to kick around right here, you know, you can keep catching them. I think the first time we talked about, like, you get a silk robe, I think, or something. So you do get some things. About right now, if you've already caught some frogs, you should be probably close to about the elixir, which is at 15 frogs.
Yeah.
And then one that you might want to try to go towards is 23 frogs for a silver fork, which you could have stolen one, but still this is the only kind of other one right now that we're at that is available.
Yeah, and 23 frogs is a bit of a reach for this area. I mean, the respawn rate, I think we might have mentioned it in our minigames, our
I think we did.
Side quest episode. The respawn rate is really, really slow. So to wait for, you know, them to go from tadpole into mature frogs and all that kind of stuff might not really be worth it. We may be coming up on another Q's Marsh some point later in the story as well. So that's totally up to you guys.
Yeah, and I mean, let's be real too. While getting these nice shiny new weapons on Kina is fun, you know, Silver Fork, I think, brings her attack power up to like 50 or something. It's insane. And then she'll still just hit for 50s. So, you know, it's if it was a crazy good weapon for Zidane, we would recommend it. So you do need to go forward, though, and you can talk to Quell, because remember, we have to be here in Q's Marsh, which is why, you know, what Alex said about she's a Force character now, because you have to go through here for the story. Typical Quail, he's just being very coy and not straightforward about what he knows, because you question him about, you know, is there a secret path? There is. In Kena, he mentions that Kena will show you the way. All you have to basically do is just go to the right of the hut, and, you know, the game takes it from there, and Zidane chases Kena through the reeds. It leads you to a very interesting little place where there's more frogs.
Right. Yeah, there's more frogs, and then apparently Kena's just like, I've never seen this place before. It's like, really?
I know,
how the heck have you guys never found this?
It's not like we went very far, man. I mean, I think Quail throws rocks at the building from his hut, you know? I mean, like, it's not that far. Another little kind of funny side note that I just, you know, I always try to pay attention to all the small details, is the fact that there's a chain across the entryway. It's actually like two chains, and... I mean, what little good first does that do? People just step right over it. But not only that, Kena just runs through it and just breaks the chains, no problem. And it's like, oh, well, now we can go in, I guess.
I know. Who set that up anyways? Nobody knew it was there. Maybe Quail did, but he wasn't going to say anything about it. I don't know.
I don't know, yeah. But anyways, you're there. You take the little tunnel and you're entering this new area we haven't been to yet called Fossil Rue. And it's got a pretty good track, doesn't it?
Yeah. So I had to put this down in our notes because this is kind of something that, I don't know, for everybody listening who's played Final Fantasy IX a couple of times, or if you've noticed, the soundtrack, the music when you enter is unique. And then after that point, you know, once you you do the chase scene and everything that we're going to talk about in a minute here, the music changes to the old Gargan Rue.
It does.
Same soundtrack that was playing under Trino. And then it stays that way. So you don't really get to listen to that Fossil Rue soundtrack for that long. And it's pretty nice. So I don't know why the designers decided to do that, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I don't know. It's almost like maybe they're just testing the area with the song, and maybe just they didn't like it as much. It is kind of strange because, like you said, I mean, you could really be through that first area very quickly, and you know, you're only going 20, 30 seconds into a, you know, multi-minute song, and it's kind of interesting. But if you do want to hear it, we'll put in the next blog post for you all, and you know, you can also just kind of sit in that first area for a little bit because there's not really anything to do. There is a gate. You can't see anything. It's too dark.
No, it's kind of funny. Like, so you go up to the gate and you can, like, there's an exclamation mark. And then he just says, like, he peers in there. Zidane peers in there. And he's like, can't see anything. Da, da, da. So you walk on a little bit and bam, right out of the gate, you got this crazy, like, demon looking boss thing chasing after you.
Yeah, that dude does look strange. And I mean, of course, I'm playing on the remastered. And so all these models are updated and look, oh, they look so awesome and better than we ever saw them, that's for sure, on the original games playing it. And yeah, he's a wild one. He's very strange. They were clearly taking some sort of drugs when they designed that one, but he looks cool. Like, it's in a cool way, you know? And so a very interesting kind of just scenario right here, isn't it? This is kind of an optional boss. You know, he does have, he's a boss. He's got the stuff. But it's just, you just basically got to keep running straight, and there's the axes. First off, let's talk about him, though, right? Because if you do get caught, it's always a back attack, right?
Yep. So this guy's name is Armo Dullahan. So like what Mark is saying, it's always a back attack when you get encountered. It's not really the kind of battle that you're really technically just supposed to run from him. So if you mess up with there's like these swinging axes that kind of impede your way, so they can knock you back and you might get into an encounter. Not the end of the world, because he does only have 818 HP.
Yeah.
And the way this battle works is once you get rid of all of his HP, he like dismantles and falls to the ground so you can run away, but you can't technically kill this guy.
No, it'll just keep happening over and over again.
Right, and his attacks are pretty meh. Like, he's got Spear, a physical attack, Thundera, and the annoying one, level 5 death. That can be pretty dang annoying.
But as I kind of mentioned at the beginning, it's very easy to just outrun him. Even if you do get hit by a couple of the axes, because I did, it's still pretty easy. And eventually you just kind of jump over a gap, and he just blindly chases you and then falls down the hole. So that's that. Before we go any further and see who's waiting for us around the corner, because there is someone, we're going to get to our bold move. Okay, bold move. I'm going to start us out this time. I've been kind of on a Final Fantasy 12 kick, just as Alex has been on a 10-2 kick. And I'm getting a little more outside of the elements. Anyways, I'll just get on with it here. So my bold move goes to Final Fantasy 12. It goes to all of the characters of it for their total disregard of friendly fire. I mean, dude, I'm up there and I got Ash shooting a crossbow through me to hit this wolf. Like, how did she hit that? That's clearly friendly fire. We got scathed in these spells. Like, dude, I'm getting blasted to pieces by all these things.
I love how it just doesn't even do anything to him.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't even register. I don't think there's any projectiles either, but that was my bold move, man. What do you got?
So for this week, and I know one of the other ones I did a Final Fantasy VII Cid and Shara bold move. Well, here's another one for you guys. So it was a bold move for Cid when he decided to abort the launch of the rocket just to save Shara. So kind of shows he does actually care a little bit. He's, you know what hard. I mean? It was like, oh, if you do this now, we're not going to be able to relaunch for years or something. He's like, oh, man, what do I do?
Well, so, it's either that or he doesn't want murder on his hands.
That was exactly what it was. So, know? I mean, like, deep down, you know.
He's like, gosh darn it.
Yeah, but
I don't
want
to go to prison.
Yeah.
Well, that's true, man. Sid. Oh, that whole aspect. But
so many of them.
Those are our bold moves for this episode, and let's see who is waiting for us. So, essentially right after that boss fight, everyone's kind of running into each other, kind of like in cartoons, you know, and stuff.
Yeah.
And we are met with a familiar face. We've heard of her a couple times. It's Lonnie. She's the most beautiful bounty hunter. I can see why. I mean, she takes my breath away. And then not only that, Zidane can't even help himself, man. It's to the point where Dagger does a little foot stomp, hands on the hips, and says, "Stop flirting."
Yeah, yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
That part is so funny because he's like, whoa, hold on a second. Have we met?
Yeah, he can't help himself, man. Cannot help himself.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. But anyways, we already know why she's here, right? She's here to get... Is it the Falcon, or, and it's not the Falcon Claw, but it's like the pennant, right?
Yeah.
From Dagger. And so we already know she's here. It's dead or alive. It doesn't matter. Just get the pendant. And so battle time. She isn't too difficult. It's just kind of a few little quirks. So her steal rates first. Let's do that. We got ethers 100%. Dude, they just toss ethers at you in this game.
They get the ethers away.
Yeah, they do. You got Gladius, 25%. Yeah. And then you got the Coral Sword. Which I don't know if I got everything. Coral Sword is 6.25%. I was watching some TV, I'll admittedly say, when I was playing. And so I was a little distracted during the steal. So I think I got everything.
Yeah, I feel you. I do the same thing because you just get so tired of seeing couldn't steal anything. Couldn't steal anything.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, just go ahead and steal, Zidane. You're welcome to steal now.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, she's not a difficult boss to just beat, but she can surely take out your characters. I'm telling you, like, I don't know how. She kills Dagger so easily. And Kina, too, if she's on the front line.
I was going to say Kina.
Yeah, so Slow is always, as always, your best friend in these battles. Like with a lot of Final Fantasy, Slow is pretty broken on bosses in this game. They're almost all susceptible to it. Other than that, I usually just use Mighty Guard with Kina, get Protect up instantly because she's going to start using water on you guys, fire, all this kind of stuff, and her axe attack can do a lot of damage. Oftentimes it does like 250 damage to Kina and can just take her out. So,
yeah, that's what the few things for her are that, kind of like what you said, she does go for Dagger mostly. So that is why Dagger will usually die, especially Dagger right now, very underdeveloped. Kina also, because, you know, she does her, like, counter attack with the axe, and that does quite a bit. Funny thing is, I mean, Vivi, I was just smacking her for a little bit, you know, waiting for the steals. You know, I didn't want to rev up damage too much here. She never countered Vivi. I know it's kind of just random, but like you said, I mean, she does crank out some damage. Water is the kind of big one just because it's an AoE. Yep. And so you kind of just really got to get ahead of that damage. White Wind works great as well. And then basically, essentially, just have Dagger use Cure. You know, Lonnie also uses Scan. So whoever she uses it on, usually it's on Dagger. She will attack that person next. And so kind of just be mindful of that.
It's really funny because I think this is the only time in the game that an enemy actually uses Scan on you.
Yeah.
And it's actually hilarious because, you know, so often you'll be using Scan, it'll be like enemy, thousands of HP, blah, blah, blah. She'll use it on Dagger. So Dagger, level 15, 470 HP, weak against fire.
Weak against fire, it's yep.
It's like, wait, first of all, and I never get that, how is she weak against fire? I mean...
Yeah, I don't know.
This week, but that's what always happens. It's like, Lainey, did you really have to use Scan just to figure out that you can one-shot her?
Well, and she'll keep doing it too, you know? And so it's like, what's... Yeah. I mean, but hey, whatever. Regardless, just keep Dagger alive, chip away at her. You know, Zidane has the most health at this point. I think on my game, he might be pushing maybe 850, 900. So he can definitely take some hits before you even worry about him. But you'll defeat her. And then she just like, see ya. And she just walks. It's like, okay. Like, they don't know who she is. You know what I mean? And so in the game, that party, just imagine someone up coming and attacking you and then losing and be like, all right, well, I'll see you guys later. And they're like, oh, okay, bye.
Yeah. I love the way she's just like, what a drag. What a drag. She gets beaten up. She's just like, what a drag.
What a drag.
All right, I'll come back later.
Yeah. We know that that's probably not going to be the last we're seeing of her, obviously. So you're able to actually finally go into Gargenru. I say finally, I guess it really hasn't been that long, but it's kind of a maze. So before we kind of get into anything, just a few enemies here. You see the Seeker Bats again, which we just saw at Pinnacle Rock. They're not really anything worrying. They're just kind of annoying with darkness and antidote. So, you'll need to use antidotes with poison. And so kind of just some status effects there. Other than that, I mean, well, we got Griffin, which we've seen before. If you listen to our Trino episode, we defeated it in the monster area, whatever, with Steiner. But now you're just seeing it as a full party. So you do know it's got some weapons in its mix, right?
Yeah, and I mean, at this point in the game, it should be pretty easy. You know, Griffin just uses a whole bunch of Era, the tail attack, likes to use White Wind. So that's another good point. If you didn't get White Wind earlier from Zoo and Clara, you can get it now. You can go ahead and eat Griffin. That'll work for that. Another thing that you can encounter here is Abomination. I don't even know how to explain it. You guys will just have to look it up. Anyway, so... Abomination, no special attacks or anything. Interesting to note with that, you can eat Abomination to learn Knight with Kina.
Okay, cool.
And one other enemy is called a Feather Circle, and this thing kind of looks like a ray.
Yeah.
From the ocean, like a mantis ray or something like that. And you can also eat those for level 4 Holy, which is a pretty sweet move.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, Kina is just one of the coolest characters in the beginning because you get these, like, crazy good spells and stuff way early on.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, most of them will eat your MP away, like none other, but still.
Yeah.
So that's what you'll find here. I feel like a broken record saying this. This area, it's not a small area, but just the screens are small. And so remember, when you're getting these random battles, I think it's based on just steps. Maybe each step has, it'd be kind of interesting to actually look into it. Maybe each step has, you know, a certain percentage chance. Maybe it rises up. I don't know. But regardless, it's not much steps each screen. I once again only got into one battle on this whole entire area with Seeker Bats. So if you're like me and you're having this issue, I mean, yes, I kind of like not getting into random battles all the time. It's kind of nice, you know.
Yeah.
At the same time, though, if this keeps happening, you will start to kind of fall behind. It's not so much that things will get much harder. It's mainly just like gear. You're going to start to fall really behind in gear, you know, and getting abilities mastered and all this stuff. So maybe just walk around a little bit extra, you know, if you've only been in a couple of battles. But regardless, this area, it's not really large. It's medium, but it's really hard to explain where we're going in this. So we're going to kind of try to break it down. The first main area is the one that has the Moogles and the Miner, who kind of just tells you about the whole thing. We're not going to go into that. One of the Moogles, though, it's a familiar face.
Yep, yep. We got Stiltskin back again. This dude just gets around, man. Like,
I know, right?
He's everywhere. Everywhere you go. So, yeah, he's creeping again. This time he comes with a nice little package. And it's funny because every single time he offers, like, these items up, they get better and better and better as the story goes on. So this time around, we got Phoenix Pinion, Remedy, and Ether for 555 gil. That's a bargain.
It is. I mean, and that Remedy in there just takes the cake. You know what I mean? It does. Yeah. They are really good items. And also, I was thinking about this too when I was going through this. And what is the difference between a Phoenix Pinion and a Phoenix Down?
Yeah, actually, we didn't ever explain that. So a Phoenix Down is just going to revive a fallen character. A Phoenix Pinion, so I think it has the same function if you use it as an item, but you really want to hold on to them because later on down the road, they'll be able to be equipped as an accessory by a new character. And as with a lot of Eidolons in the story, their damage is based off of how much of that item you have in your inventory.
Yeah.
So that was another thing we didn't talk about with the Peridot and Ramu. You'll be getting Peridots from the Griffin. And a lot of people will be confused, like, I already have one. You know, she's already learned it. Why do I need them? You want to hold on to those because the damage equation for the summons depends on how much of that item you have or the quantity of that item in your inventory.
Yeah, so the more, the better, pretty much.
Exactly.
So, I mean, especially those kind of earlier on, kind of like, quote-unquote, smaller ones, you know, kind of the basic ones. You'll start accumulating those a lot, and you might be tempted to sell them. I mean, they're worth almost nothing, and so I don't know why you would.
Yeah,
but
just hold on to them.
just keep on to them. It's going to actually increase the damage. So, good thing with the Phoenix Pinion. I was just, you know, I was seeing that, and I was like, I don't think we ever did talk about that. No. The other Moogle there is Maki. You got no letters to give, none to receive, and so he has received a letter, though, from Kupo. Like, that's his name, Kupo. Who he doesn't know, Kupo, with... Okay, Kupo, the Moogle, is K-U-P-P-O, two P's. So he doesn't know Kupo. Kupo is how he says it. And so they were having fun with that. And he was just basically writing to Maki saying, like, I'm going to play a game of hide and seek with you. And Maki's like, probably don't care because I don't even know who you are, buddy. Seriously. Got that taken care of. The area that is right to the south, you got to go south first and then to the east. So down and right... If you go there first, you kind of have to if you want to do this the easiest and quickest way. You can get the fairy earrings. You already have them. It's whatever. It's free, though. Go snag them. Come back. Yeah. So now you're at the Moogle area again. You're back where we started here. Now, go ahead and go north. Go up, right? There's only one way you haven't been. And you got to hop on the Gargans here. We didn't really say that yet, but it's pretty self-explanatory. There's Gargans. You ride them back and forth. You switch these switches. It switches the track. Just to make sure we get all the items, we want to do it a specific way, right? So that's why we did the fairy earrings.
Yeah.
You go up, you can take the top path. Eventually, you'll get to a thing where you got two levels. You take the top path, you get an ether. You take the bottom path, you take this windy, long path. See, I mean, this is why it's like describing. Well, you
exactly.
take the windy path,
it's
you take
crazy.
The top path. But regardless, you go that way, you flip the switch, you come back again, right? So this is kind of how it is. It's very repetitive with doing a certain sequence. Going back, doing one thing, going back and undoing that sequence. And so regardless, you should have flipped your first switch by taking the north path, come back to the Moogles, and we're going to go to see Trivia. Right as, you know, as we start describing, we're going to see Trivia. Alex won his one. Yeah, I guess it's winning. He won his rank 15 last time. And so we are on the rank 16 quiz. Let's do it. So, Final Fantasy 12. Infuse is a technic. I'm assuming you say technic, right? It is literally spelled technic. It is not spelled technique, which is what everything else is. Yeah.
Right.
I'm calling it technic. Infuse is a technic that heals for 10 times your current MP.
Wait, did you say heals HP by 10 times MP?
Yes, there you go. You explained a lot better than I did. Infuse that heals whoever you want for 10 times that character's current XP. MP, rather.
True.
All right. Final Fantasy X. We're tossing Yankee and B-Ron aside, all right? So don't be thinking about them. You can get Mighty Guard from Behemoth King.
True.
All right, Final Fantasy VIII. You can draw Meltdown from Jumbo Cactar.
That is also true.
I hear you Googling over there, man. No, I'm just kidding. All right, Final Fantasy XIII. There is a limit on how long you are allowed to juggle enemies. And if you know what that term means, then you do. If you don't, then it's basically like you can launch enemies in the air and keep them there.
True.
In Final Fantasy X-2, every time, I know you're going to know this one, but this is made for an education for all of our listeners in case they don't know. All right. As long as you just view the comm sphere for a few seconds, you're good to go for the percentage.
Oh, that's definitely false. No, the comm sphere thing is a nightmare.
All right. In Final Fantasy IX, we got Freya's Luna ability inflicts confuse on all enemies.
False.
All right, our last question is in Final Fantasy VII. Cloud has anywhere between 8 to 10 hair spikes.
You're always going to get me on these obscure ones. honestly don't know, so I'm just going to say true.
All right, man. Let's go ahead and recap here. Our first question was in Final Fantasy XII, and you said true, and it is true. So infuse is a technique that if you use it, you know, whatever character uses it, it's going to heal a bunch. Final Fantasy X.
I never used that one.
Yeah, no, dude, it's good. I'd recommend it. Final Fantasy X, you can get Mighty Guard from Behemoth King, so you got it right. You said true. Final Fantasy VIII, you said was also true, and it is also true. You can draw Meltdown from Jumbo Cactar. Dude, come on, man. Yep. How do you remember that? I thought I got you with that.
I played 8 not too long ago.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, like Meltdown is one of those ones that's so good but so hard to find.
It is.
I think that's why I kind of remember. It's not a very obscure one. It's just, it's a really good spell.
It is. Final Fantasy 13. Okay. Man, you always get me with this. I always think that I know the answer until you kind of hesitate and you guess, is there a limit? Yeah. Now, according to what I know and everything I've read, like, you can juggle indefinitely as long as you, I mean, you got to time up the hits. It'd be really difficult to keep that going.
Right, that's what I wasn't sure.
Yeah, no, so as long as you time it, which I'm not saying is going to be easy, but if you do time it in between hits and all that, have your different characters, you can juggle indefinitely.
Okay, between characters. All right. Yeah, I was like,
a little obscure one.
I'm like,
I gotta get a little. I'm working on.
Oh, it's good.
I'm working on trying to word things a little more clear. Final Fantasy X-2. I mean, I already knew it is definitely false, as you said. Guys, there are some comm spheres. If you know anything about X-2, we might be heading there after our Final Fantasy IX playthrough, which we got plenty of time. But if you're going for a 100% game, some of those comm spheres you have to watch for like minutes, 5-6 minutes,
so
in order to get that 0.01 percentage point.
Yeah, it'll be like Besaid or something, and you've got to wait for Waka to walk out of the damn tent or something like that.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. And there's like, 50 of them. So anyways, our next question was the Final Fantasy IX Freya one. You said it was false. It is false. Doesn't inflict confuse. It inflicts berserk on everyone.
That's right. Yeah, it's just, I just don't get that, man. I'm like, how is that useful?
Yeah,
most of the time, it just doesn't seem that useful.
You'd think on maybe something where, like for instance, like the Black Mages, where, they're probably not going to do anything, but they do use spells. So that would be the only instance. But even then, it just falls into, that example specifically is they're too easy to even waste that. Just kill them. It's like,
let's
go for it. All right, our last question was the Final Fantasy VII. You said true. You guessed. Man, I'll tell you, I looked at probably like anywhere between 15 to 20 photos of Cloud in different instances. He has anywhere between 8 to 10 hair spikes, so you got it right, brother. I counted, guys.
I swear.
I looked at the kind of out of battle models. I looked at the in battle models. It's so anywhere funny. Between 8 to 10. I'd stake my
literally
low reputation on it.
I was like sitting there. I'm like, dude, I'm not gonna be able to figure this out. So I just guessed. I was like, it seems like it's, he's got at least 6 spikes on there.
He's got at least, But regardless, man, you are once again on fire. You're passing it.
Yes.
I'll dig into the strategy guide. I keep saying that. I just keep thinking of fun questions that I like to ask. So, but you got it, man. Rank 16. Nice. Keep it rolling.
Man.
You're all invited to his after party. He will provide drinks. So there's that. All right. Anyways, man, good job. And let's continue on and see what we can find inside of Fossil Root. So you are returned to the Moogle area, right? So we already said you flip the first switch, you're good. So now you want to go back down to that southeast location, right? That's why you kind of went there first and got the earring, because after you flip the switch, kind of changes the track. You're no longer going to the fairy earring area. You're now going to some other new area. I think it's called like the Nest or something. I don't really know. Regardless, you'll know because there's going to be a miner there. And he'll sell you some equipment.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the stuff that he sells.
Yeah.
I mean, usually what I buy at this point is just a whole bunch of anointments, because everything around here is hitting you up with trouble
for
some reason. So this is like the point in the game where I usually have like 30 anointments, and I recommend anybody playing this is just, I don't know why this is that part in the game where the trouble status, all enemies are hitting you up with that, so...
Yes, and if you don't know what trouble does, essentially it makes the characters around you take damage when you take damage too, right?
Yeah, it seems to be, it's like proportional, or not proportional, it'll be like a quarter of the damage that your main character takes spread to everybody else. So it's kind of annoying. It usually
it
isn't the worst thing in the world, but...
Yeah, well, and especially if you got a couple, I mean, it's one of those where, you know, out of combat you can take care of it, but in combat... It's just a lot to keep taking them off all the time, and then everyone's taking just kind of AoE damage. And anywho, I don't think the miner has anything new that we haven't either been able to steal and or just buy.
No.
And so,
it's older equipment.
Yeah, so nothing crazy there. Just go ahead and buy anything you need at this point. So you kind of just, again, it's the areas. You kind of just move forward, right? It's semi-linear here. It's just... hitting the switches, and it's not even really in a correct order anymore. It is pretty straightforward. So what you do want to do, though, is you want to head to the top, and you want to hit that switch number 4 first. If you go out right now, it will take you to the area that you're supposed to go. You don't want to do that. You want to take a little side detour, right? So flip number 4 switch. It'll take you kind of to this, just basically it's like a room, like a digging room that you can't get into yet because it's just a treasure chest. And it's an actually really nice item.
It is the, how do you say this? Lamia's tiara?
Lamia's, yeah, I would say.
Lamia's tiara. So it's kind of funny because it's a little bit of a throwback to older Final Fantasies. Lamia or Lamia's. One of the enemies that's like a recurring enemy in the Final Fantasy series.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of that. But aside from that, really, really good item. I think it's a headpiece, right?
It is. Yeah, no, it's really good. You know, it boosts the stats that you want. The other kind of just nice thing that it has between the mix of abilities. If you're like me with Dagger, I'm finally starting to get caught up on the weapons. You know, between the different rackets and the rods. Currently, right now in my game, I was using the Stardust Rod because I just got it. It's got like float and something else on it, I think. And, you know, pretty good. Spells I don't have yet. And so with the combination of Silk Robes, I think that has the ability up, which the Stardust Rod has.
Yeah.
And then so Lamia's Tiara, like, it has the magic. And so if you have the Tiara and the Silk Robes on, you can now use your best weapon you have with the Dagger, which is actually pretty good. You will be surprised at how much she'll crank out. And that's the Multina Racket. You can finally use that. So it's just cool because that Tiara kind of just really... It's like a puzzle piece for you. It fits perfectly, and you can use a bunch of new stuff that now you're learning everything all at once, and it's all way better than what you were using. And so, yeah.
Yeah. And like what you said, the racket is so nice because it's a long-range weapon, so Dagger can be in the back row. And she does, yeah, I mean, like what you said, seems to be so much more damage than the rods to, what, 300 damage or something like that? I mean, it's pretty dang good.
It's around there, yes. Especially for just kind of the, you know, a healer. And so, no, it makes her kind of a little more useful instead of just waiting around to heal, you know, or use potions or something. But regardless, go ahead and exit that room again. I mean, there's literally nothing else there. Hit the switch and now go ahead and go forward. So you'll take the bug. It'll take you to this like kind of pool area that has vines. You'll get spit down, and then like it shoots you into this pool. The way you come out of the pool is he does a backflip out of the water. How? This dude's got some skills, man.
Oh man,
a backflip. Imagine trying out to do that though. Water.
It's like, how does he get the, you know, the speed? Like, what is he pushing off against the bottom of the pool or something like that? It's crazy.
It's like a geyser under the water or something that just shot him up in the air. But
yeah, it's actually a really annoying part though for anybody who's gotten to this part, or you will get to this part. There's like a whole bunch of little statues on this wall.
Yeah.
And you can climb on the wall. I forget how it works, but it, like, the statues will spit out this stream of water that'll knock you off the wall into the pool constantly if you're at like a certain distance from them or something like that. So it's kind of a weird little part.
I don't really know the algorithm for it either. You know, like I don't know what it causes it to do it, but regardless, you will always get hit with that first one.
You get hit by him all the time.
Rather than going down, so out of that pool, rather than taking the path south down, head up, and you'll climb up the vines again. Don't worry, you'll be fine this time, and climb up to kind of the second level. And there is kind of an interesting area. It's the area that you saw when you were getting the tiara, but now you're in the bottom section. There's a miner there. He's like, back off, fool. This is my prop. You know, like, this is my area.
This is my turf.
But, you know, his demands aren't very high, are they?
No, I mean, he literally just... It's just so funny. He's like, give me a potion, I'll let you dig here. It's like, right. What is a potion, like 100 gil or something? All right, here
even
you go.
That. I doubt even that.
No, and you probably got like 30 or 40 potions at this point. Yeah. They basically become redundant with Dagger in the party. So, yeah, just go ahead and give him a potion because there's some really good stuff to get here. So, I believe in a letter you learned about a certain Moogle who's playing the game, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's... You can see it, so pay the potion for sure, and he'll give you basically his pickaxe, is essentially a potion. Bite of your sandwich for a lift, sir? You know, like, I don't understand, but, you know, yeah, you can dig around this area now. I'll let Alex get to that, but on the upper level, you can see it. I mean, it's like the wall. It kind of looks like a bunch of boulders or something. It's really hard to miss.
It's just obvious.
Yeah. And you just gotta dig there. Now, just like with the Stelazio coin back at Trino, this game likes to make you sit there and do things over and over again, you know? I mean, what, you had to give 100, you had to give Gil like 13 times to the fountain, right? Now, you gotta dig 11 times. So just make sure you just keep digging. It's like, nothing's happening. Well, no, it's not. Keep digging. You'll start to hear the Moogle saying Koopo behind, and then, you know, He's free! It's Koopo, the Moogle that sent the letter. And now, you can finally get another letter. If you talk to him, you'll be given a letter, and it's from Koopo to Koopo. Yeah, I didn't mess that up. It's true. Koopo, the 2P Moogle that we're talking to now, wants you to give his letter to Koopo, the 1P Moogle.
Yeah.
So this will be fun to try to explain to you guys in the future here.
I always think, is it Koopo and Koopo?
I don't know. Double P, we should probably just call him that, right? Koopo.
Koopo. It's just weird. But if you just dig around, there's a bunch of different items that you can get, and the amount of digs that you have to do or the amount of, like, pickaxe strikes or whatever varies. But, you know, it's pretty easy to get a lot of ore from here. You can get, I think, even ethers and things like that. One cool item that you can get, and I don't think that I've ever gotten this item, but
so low
apparently...
Chance.
Oh yeah, I don't know what the chance is, but apparently you can get a Maiden's Ring. This is an interesting one because it's really low chance. Some people have spent like 20 to 30 minutes just trying to get it.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny because you actually get an achievement for this. It's called the One Ring. So
I'm glad you brought that up.
So there you go. You get that. And like I said, I'm looking at a FAQ right now, and it's like typically it takes about 15 minutes, 30 minutes. But some people have even...
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean,
like
it's...
like, over an hour.
Yeah, that's the thing. Some people, I'm sure, have gotten it first try. I did not, so I'll just say that right now.
I didn't either.
Don't hate on me anymore for my steal rates. I did not get this dig rate, so there's that, but...
And I don't know if there's any real strategy for whether you should just stay in one place and, you know, do it over and over and over again. But anyways, regardless, if you're playing this on the PC or the PS4... two times speed or four times speed is your best friend. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Use those modifiers. Speed up time. You just got to say it. And like you said, I don't know if there is. I would just move around, you know, for the sake of it.
Yeah. But
use the speed increase, please, if you're going for that. I did not go for it. I did not get the rain. I don't need to be Frodo. And so I'm all right. There is a survival vest nearby. Really good item. It's in that same kind of area with the mining area, I guess, digging area. Just go to the right. Can't miss it.
Exactly.
Very, very good. You have Adamant vest as well. I think that's semi-newer. So just make the decision there. But survival vest is better than anything we've gotten so far. At that point, if you're done digging and you've done everything, you are good to go. This is another one of those areas, though, that you can't return to, correct?
Yeah, so interestingly enough, basically to get out of this place, you go back to that, like, wall with all the vines on it.
Yep.
And you climb up to the very top, and there's another switch, and it basically gives you a warning, which I never really understood because I didn't understand what the heck it was saying. But it was basically saying that, you know, you change this course of the last Gargan, and you can never return to this place.
Yep.
Okay, fine. Switch it, you get on the Gargan, and I found out that the reason why you can't get back is because once you get to that end part,
mm-hmm.
there's no Ghazal Greens.
No, which is what you've been using to feed them, yeah.
Yep, and another really funny thing, I just trial tested because I'm really interested in this with Final Fantasy, the way they do these areas that you just can never go back to, and there's several of them in the game for some reason, you know, because sometimes it's kind of fun to just go on like a nostalgia trip and go visit these places and whatnot. But the other place that you enter Fossil Roof from by Q's Marsh, they just randomly put like a pile of rubble there so you can't get through
it. It collapsed in behind us. Yeah, we heard that happen.
You can't climb over it. No.
Just have Kina smell some frogs and run through it again. You know, you'll be all right.
It's the whole invisible plot barrier thing that they do in these games. It's really funny.
That is. I'm glad you tested that out too. Yeah. So make sure before you flip that switch. And again, it does give you the message. Just you've gotten at least, you know, the few items in the letter from the Moogle. Not really much else to do, you know, other than
not those really.
Things. But
the only other thing you'd be missing is just the digging mini game. But again, that's just not a big deal.
No, it's not. And so, yeah, you take that last one and you're stuck and you take the entrance or, you know, exit, I guess, either way to the outer continent. So we are at the outer continent, man. We are done with the Mist Continent for now, at least, and into the outer. I will say, Alex and I, we agree here that some of these next places coming up are some of the favorite, and we're going to have so much fun with it.
Yeah, but this is when it really gets good.
Yeah, but anyways, that is going to do it for our episode. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We are 20 episodes in, and we are loving it. We've got a full head of steam here, so we're plowing on forward. As always, make sure to stop by Final Stuff or FinalFantasyTalks.com. It's just where our blog is. You can also read and see us, you know, read a little bit about us and the blog post, you know, just have a little bit more tidbit about the info. I do usually correct things. So obviously, you know, sometimes we give out misinformation. Obviously, my C trivia questions are starting to get a little sketchy here. But, you know, I will also, we will correct ourselves in that blog. And so that's kind of the first stop for some corrective measures. And also we'll put the songs in there as well. And so just a good place to check out. And then also Instagram, Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talk, same handle. We're on there. We're posting clips. It's been a blast, having so much fun. So that is where you can find us. I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks.